blood of the Lamb. And for that reason, we are turning to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. And as you're finding the place, we'll take a moment to seek the Lord and to ask for his help, even in prayer at this time. Gracious God, we do thank thee for our redemption through the blood of Christ. We thank thee that this is the heart and circumference of the gospel. Lord, there is no other gospel other than Jesus died for sinful men and Jesus died for me. We thank thee that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and shed his precious blood that we might be saved from sin and go at last to heaven, washed, cleansed from the filthiness of our sin. O gracious God, bless us around the cross this evening. And grant, O God, that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up. And we pray that any out of Christ will be drawn to him. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm sure that you remember the story of Genesis chapter 4, how that Adam's two sons, Cain and Abel, brought their offerings unto the Lord. Cain, who was a tiller of the ground, brought of the fruit of the earth and sought by works, the works of his hands, to be right with God and to be pleasing in God's sight. God rejected Cain's offering, and Cain was rejected by the Lord. On the other hand, we see that Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. He had the blood of the lamb slain, and he offered a sacrifice which was clearly in line with what God taught in the Old Testament and later showed Moses what to write in the law. It is clear that God must have revealed to Adam and to his sons the proper law of sacrifice. I think that's clear from the chapter that we read. And so Abel came according to the law of God, the word of God, the way of the Lord, and made a sacrifice on the ground of shed blood, the blood of a slain lamb. He came God's way. We're told in verse 4 that the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. The Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. Now I want us to consider four things concerning Abel's offering. We will first think that he was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, Abel was saved through faith. And thirdly, God assured Abel of salvation. Give him the assurance. And fourthly, Abel's testimony is still useful today. So first of all, we see that Abel was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can you visualize him standing by the altar, confessing his sin and his need of a blood atonement, a covering for his sin? He trusted not in the works of the flesh, like Cain did. He trusted not in any of the goodness that men are want to boast about. That always has been the case. Men born in sin boast about their own doings and their good works. But salvation is not that way. Abel trusted in the blood of the Lamb. That has been God's way of salvation. That has always been God's way of salvation. That still is God's way of salvation. And that always will be God's way of salvation. Salvation by the blood of the Lamb. There's no other way but this. And dear friends, we need to come to the cross as this sacrifice of Abel's prefigured the cross on Calvary and our Savior's bleeding death on that tree for sinners. You will find that the entire testimony of Scripture proves that salvation is through the blood of the Lamb of God, who died as a substitute and as a sacrifice for sinners. And we know that by virtue of the shedding of his precious blood, there is a covering provided for the repenting sinner who comes to Christ by faith. And just as Abel was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, so every Christian, every believer is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption is a great word. It's a great theological word. It's a great scriptural word. It's a great word for sinners to understand. And it means that we have been purchased back from the power of sin. We have been delivered and set free from sin's power by virtue of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us back. He has brought us from the brink. And he has saved us and made us his children. And if you would be saved tonight, then you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If today finds you still without Christ, without God, if you have never been washed in the blood of Christ, if you have never confessed that you are a sinner in need of God's salvation, if you're still trusting in good works, trusting in the power of religion, of the church, your own hands doings, then, my friend, you're not saved. You're not redeemed. And you're not on your way to heaven. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Sad to say. And if you do not repent and come to Christ, you'll be lost forevermore. But if, as a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, if as such you confess your need and recognize before God the only way of salvation is by his Son, then thank God there's hope for you and there's salvation for you. And all you need to do is to pray the prayer of the publican in the temple. When he cried out to the Lord, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a simple prayer. Those are simple words. But prayed in sincerity, prayed with conviction, prayed with meaning of heart and soul, it means everything to the believer. Because it changes a man's life, a woman's life. And transforms that life and sets that life heavenward homeward and Godward. There is great power in this prayer. This is a great prayer to pray. Literally translated, these words of the publican were, "Lord, be propitiated towards me, a sinner." That is, "Lord, deal with me at the mercy seat. Deal with me there where the blood has been sprinkled." And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven after his death and resurrection. And he has taken with him his blood, and it's upon the mercy seat. And my dear friend, it's there we receive mercy from the Lord, at the feet of Christ. And we come there praying and pleading, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, be propitiated towards me, the sinner." The precious blood has been shed. It's been sprinkled on the mercy seat. It atones for sin. It has power to cleanse. It's the only way of salvation. And Lord, I plead that blood. And if you come and pray that sinner's prayer tonight, thank God you'll be gloriously saved. You'll be redeemed and brought to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Abel was saved through the blood of the Lamb. He believed in the sacrifice, the proper offering for sin. He took a lamb of the flock, a clean, a spotless, a pure lamb. He killed it and offered its blood as an atonement for his sin, prefiguring, looking forward. Abel looked forward to Calvary. We look back to Calvary. Calvary is now an historical fact. It has taken place. Christ has died. Yea, rather, he's risen again. And praise God, he's able to save to the very uttermost all who come unto God by him. Abel was saved by the blood of the Lamb. Also, in the second place, he was saved through faith. We know this by turning to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, where we read the words, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." You see, it was by faith that Abel offered to God this sacrifice of the Lamb. Now, a scoffer could have stood by the altar, and what would he have said? He would have said something like this, "What can that pure animal do for you, Abel?" If he had stood there alongside Abel, he would have criticized him. He would have asked, "What virtue, what cleansing, what atoning power could there be in the blood of this animal?" Oh, that's the attitude of the scoffers today. How could an animal save a man? A scoffer could have said those things, but Abel was no scoffer of the things of God. He was a genuine believer. He was a follower of the Lord. Abel looked beyond the animal, and Abel saw that this animal was only a symbol. It was a picture of the real Lamb of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said, just as today we look backward to Christ on Calvary, so Abel looked forward to Christ upon the cross. He looked beyond the animal and he saw Christ, the Lamb of God, bearing away his sin. And by faith in that sacrifice, Abel was saved. His sins were removed. His heart, which was black, was washed whiter than snow. And he became a child of God. He said to himself, "Away with all hope in the flesh. Away with all trust in works. I will not trust in anything that I can do. I'm only unclean in the sight of God. I'm a wicked sinner deserving of punishment, deserving of hell and eternal wrath. I am undeserving. There's nothing about me that could commend me to the Lord." And in the words of Titus, if only he had them in those days, he could have said, "Not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to his mercy he saved me." Yes, Abel could have said, "I know no other ground of salvation than the precious blood of the slain lamb, of the precious blood of the lamb shed on the sacrifice." Abel knew that, and Abel trusted in the sacrifice of the Lamb. Tell me, what are you trusting in tonight? Are you trusting in hope? A lot of people, when you talk to them about salvation and ask them if they're saved, they'll say, "Well, I hope so." Friend, if that's the kind of hope you're trusting in, you're lost. Some are trusting in good works, in paying into their church, relying upon church membership, on doing the best they can. These are common. Christ, the glory of salvation, robbing Christ of the power of the cross. At least they think they're doing so. But thank God tonight, the way of the cross leads home. The blood shall never lose its power. Thank God it flows rich and free as ever. And tonight, those who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And you tonight can experience, thank God, faith in Christ really saves. Not only does it save, but it gives security. And you can be sure that for the rest of your life, you'll never deviate from the way to heaven. Oh yes, you might grow cold. You might experience a black-slitten heart. But my dear friend, the genuine believer will get to heaven. Because Jesus said in John chapter 17, he thanked God in his great high priestly prayer that none that the Father had given to him had he ever lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ has never lost a soul that trusts in him. We are secure, we are ready, and we're bound for glory. We meet people also who say they can't keep salvation. That seems to be holding back a lot of people. I can't keep it. I'm afraid I'll make a mess of it. I'm afraid that I'll mess it all up. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's also the only keeper. And if he's able to save to the uttermost, he can keep to the uttermost. And the Apostle Paul could say, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." So let's put away our doubts. Ask God to take away our unbelief. Let's see the cross as the answer to your need tonight. Make your way to Calvary. Come to the Lord Jesus. He promises, I will in no wise cast you out. Saved by the blood of the Lamb, saved through faith. And the third thing we learn about Abel is that God assured him of salvation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and listen to it, by faith he obtained witness. He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God bore witness, first of all, to the fact that the offering was accepted on behalf of Abel the sinner. The offering was accepted on his behalf. And I'm glad tonight that the offering of Christ upon the cross is accepted on my behalf and on the behalf of every believer in this house. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God, rich in his glory, in his kingdom and in his kingship, would stoop down to think of me a pauper and to secure my salvation and assure me of it, and bring me at last to heaven. We have so much to be thankful for. And Abel was assured of his salvation. God assured him. He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God bore witness to the fact that the offering that he made was accepted on his behalf. And then God bore witness that he had reckoned Abel, by nature a sinner, he had reckoned him as righteous through the merits of the offering that was brought. Isn't that wonderful? And when we think of the cross, God bears witness that you, a sinner, deserving of hell, he reckons you as righteous in his sight. How? Through the merits of the offering that was made on the cross of Calvary. Through the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Oh, any wonder the hymn writer would say, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior is he. And friend, we can all say that tonight by faith in him. And we say to you, come to Christ. When a man trusts Christ as his Savior, or a woman trusts Christ as his Savior, the Lord bears witness through the sacrifice of Christ and through the printed page of Scripture that they are righteous in the sight of God. That God has taken you, a filthy old sinner, and has taken you and washed you and made you white and clean. And now, instead of the garments of filth and sin, you're clothed in the spotless righteousness of Christ, the robe of salvation, and you're accepted in his sight. That's the marvel of salvation. That's the marvel of the cross. That's the marvel of what Christ has wrought at a place called Calvary. Thank God, as a believer tonight, you're standing on redemption ground. You're standing on the ground of the offering of the Son of God. You're standing on the merits of his atoning blood, the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. There's no better place. There's no other place I'd rather be than standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us, and this is divinely inspired word, we are accepted in the Beloved. That is, in Christ, in whom we have redemption, we are accepted and God assures us of salvation. Will you not call upon him tonight? The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also says that if we come to him, he will not cast us out. And therefore I urge upon you tonight, don't miss this salvation. The last thing I want to say about Abel is this. Not only was he redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and saved by faith, sacrifice of that Lamb, and assured by God that he was accepted, but his testimony is still useful today, because we read, he being dead yet speaketh. He had a good testimony. And although Abel, we think, probably died as a young man, died smitten down by the foul deed of murder by his brother, and in his lifetime, short as it was, probably didn't have much opportunity to win many, if any, souls for God. And yet, since that time of his death, many thousands of people have read about Abel, heard about Abel, and through preaching concerning Abel, have been brought to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are already in the glory because of this man's testimony. Others are on the way, and more are yet to go on that way. He being dead yet speaketh. You see, no man lives unto himself. And my dear friend, if you come to Christ, you will find that God can use your testimony too. And child of God already in Christ, let you be assured tonight that God can use your testimony while you live and even after you die. As the scripture says, he being dead yet speaketh. Don't you want to leave behind a good testimony for Christ? Don't you want to lift up the standard and pass that standard on to others who are coming next? And then to those who will come after still. And to therefore blaze a trail ahead for the glory of King Jesus. That's what Abel did. And all these years later, thousands of years later, here we are preaching about him, telling you about him. What a testimony. What a testimony. I remember as a young Christian in my teens, being very afraid to witness for Christ. I was asked to stand in the open air. I was asked to give a word of testimony, and my knees knocked, my heart sank, and the devil told me, what use is a feeble word from you going to do to anyone? I felt useless. and helpless. The old devil will attack us. The flesh will slay us. But thank God we can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a victory it is. Don't be ashamed of his gospel. Don't be ashamed of God's dear Son. Don't be ashamed to stand up and to tell others you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Don't be ashamed he's Lord and Master of your life. Don't be ashamed to stand for his word and for his truth in this day of compromise and darkness and spiritual wickedness in every place. Don't be ashamed to be the odd man or woman out. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. God will bless you. He'll strengthen you and he'll equip you for further battles. And he'll make your testimony to be a blessing to other people. And he can use you, and through you, he can reach other souls. And you might not always be the final link in the chain and leading that soul to Christ, but you're a link somewhere in that chain. In witnessing, in testifying, in standing, and doing what's right in the sight of God. God will bless you and make you a blessing, even in these days in which we live. Let us therefore take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. God can not only save you tonight, he can use you, and he can take that life of yours that you've wasted for so long. You've wasted many precious years already. The Lord can take that life, and you can start for heaven. And you can start out today, and you can start being a witness for the Lord Jesus. A testimony to his saving and to his keeping power. We're going to sing in a moment or two in our closing hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. How I trust thee more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Let's pray that we'll lean more and hard on him every day that we live. We're going to sing that hymn. It's number 462. Number 462.